So much going on here, it's going to be like this for the foreseeable future. I'm trying to keep it minimized in headlines for you, maybe 20, 25 stories, but so many different news categories now have coronavirus involvement that it's difficult. I will be making a section where the bulk of the daily stories will go, and stories like what's happening on the Grand Corona Princess cruise ship. Remember, there was the Corona Princess. Now we have the Grand Corona Princess somehow idling out there off the coast of California in those rather stormy seas. The video I saw was a little bit rough. Anyhow, 2,500 passengers, at least, 1,200 crew on that boat. So it's as full of people, if not more so, than the coronavirus ship, the ship of death, was in Yokohama Harbor over there before they finally unloaded everyone. There are so many stories here to go through. Let me just touch on a few things here. LAX, another screener at the airport is positive for coronavirus. LA County cases 13. By next week, hundreds, most likely. You're seeing an air traffic lockdown potential in the near future here. They're just going to say, the government will say, we're going to lock the country down for a week or two until we can get this under control. The virus just loves air travel, loves traveling anyway. So there are people working in the industry now who are infecting passengers and vice versa. So that's something I've got a number of stories up for you to take a look at. Someone projected a best case scenario worldwide, 15 million dead. Who knows? That's just one of those things where we could all sit down and run our own numbers and see. University of Washington is reporting a 5-7% positive test rate result average on random people who are being tested there, or people with either obvious symptoms or maybe even asymptomatic who don't feel real good. University of Washington doing some good work. Washington State seems to be the epicenter, but watch the Grand Princess ship. That is unfolding, and it's got some amazing tentacles pushing all over the country now and up into Canada. Tentacles by way of infected former passengers. It's a big story. Welcome back, Henry. I don't even know where to begin. You've got an agenda here, so jump in and we'll follow along. It's a big story.
I thought I'd start with the Grand Princess because, like you said, it's I mean, it's actually double trouble, if you will. It's got two cruises and they're both going to be disasters. And they're
for the price of one.
They're two different scenarios relative to the princess, the Diamond Princess, and the first one is probably the most remarkable because that was the trip that began in San Francisco, went down to Mexico, and back to San Francisco, and that was February 11th to the 21st. And, if you think about it, the West Coast has been hit relatively hard by the virus. It's the closest coast to China, essentially, where there's significant population anyway. And so if you've got a cruise ship that's kind of based in San Francisco, and you've got, the numbers were half of the passengers were Californians, and then probably another quarter of the passengers are Americans outside of California, and then you'd right. have another big right. swath from Canada, and including the West Coast. So you would have all of these potential infected people that decided they're not going to go to China because it's dangerous to go there, and they're not going to go fly into Europe because it's dangerous there. So they'll just stay at home and go on a cruise ship up and down the coast. And unfortunately, that didn't turn out to turn out so well.
No.
Because
no, it didn't.
They basically had contamination on there, and they started realizing it when it came back. And two of the passengers got sick and were positive, and one died. And so they already knew there were two that had been on this ship for, 10 days. And one was sick enough to die shortly after he got off, and the other one was another positive. And so they realized that there was a good chance that a lot of other passengers on that first cruise would be positive. So that's what they announced a couple of days ago. They said there were 2,500 passengers, and that half of the passengers were Californians. And so California and the CDC were going to take the manifest from the cruise ship and start calling the passengers to find out if they had symptoms, and mm-hmm. probably to warn them to quarantine. And whether it's the telephone calls or it's just the timing that when they got off, it was just before the states got their test kits. So they haven't all got them, but most of the states now have a limited supply anyway of testing. And so you've got people that are arriving back to their home location from this cruise. And they're getting CDC calling and saying, how do you feel? And there was a problem on the ship, and we want you to quarantine yourself for 14 days because you've been exposed to the coronavirus. And they said, well, it's funny you should mention that. I was just getting ready to go to the doctor because I got this cough or whatever. In any event, if you look at the map, I've been sending you stories all night. It's just one right after the other. And it's states that are actually getting their first case. And their first case was a passenger on the Grand Princess. And the numbers I've got now, I'm up to 18. So there's 18 confirmed in the United States and Canada.
Uh-huh.
And the latest one was just in Davis County, Utah. I think that was Utah's first case. And then there was one in Nevada by Reno, and that was
Washoe County, Reno.
Case.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there was one in Ramsey, Minnesota, and that was Minnesota's first case. And then there was one in Hawaii, and that was Hawaii's first case. And there was one in Alberta, Canada, and that was Alberta, Canada's first case. So, and believe me, that they've been showing up every half hour or so, and I don't think they're anywhere near done. So these are going to keep happening for the next several days, where people that got off that ship on the 21st have had enough of an incubation period that they started to get symptoms, And now they're going to read about this because they're going to read about two ships, or two trips anyway. One ship, two trips. They're going to hear about the result that just came in tonight, where on the second trip, which was the one that went from San Francisco again, same ship, mm-hmm. and same crew. And that's what happens. I mean, this crew got exposed to all of these people on the one trip that went up and down the coast. And now they're getting exposed to another batch of passengers that are coming in, many of which are going to be residents of Northern California. So they're going to bring more virus onto the ship. And they're going to go out to Hawaii and then back down to Mexico. And so they got to be seeding these locations. I mean, they had four different ports they stopped at in Hawaii before they got intercepted and told to come back to San Francisco. And the first one went down to Mexico, so they, you know, undoubtedly would have infected people down there before they came back to San Francisco. And it's just the results were that they tested 46 of them, and 21 of 46 were positive. And of those 21, 19 were crew members. So, and I think they were split about 50-50. So I don't think they tested more than like 20-something, low 20s for the crew. And they got 19 positive. So almost all crew members that they tested were positive.
Wow.
And so, there's
this
no
has to
doubt.
Go back to the first trip. The first trip.
They probably had the same crew because it left the same port.
Sure.
And they're probably based in San Francisco and it's the same ship. So they don't, you know, switch over. I don't know if they had a day or two in between, but they're just going and getting another dose of virus. And they already had virus themselves. So they had virus from the first cruise. They got a new set of passengers coming in and bringing in more virus. And then now they're testing at least the symptomatic ones. I think that's who they tested. They were originally going to test 100. They only tested 46. And I think that's because originally there were 20 or 21 that were symptomatic. And by the time, and a day later, by the time they got the kits in there to do the testing, they had probably 46 symptomatic. So they figured, well, we're not going to worry about the ones that carried over because 62 of the ones on the second cruise were on the first cruise. They're not going to, you know, they'll look at those if they're symptomatic, but they've got so many symptomatic now where there's 46 that those would be the ones that they should test first just to see where they stand. You know, if it turned out they had 46 because they had, you know, influenza floating around or some other respiratory disease other than COVID, then, you know, then they would know that, well, the symptoms aren't really the indicator because we've got X, Y, and Z. And I don't think they had X, Y, and Z. They had COVID, COVID, COVID. And that's where they stand. So now, for the first cruise, what they essentially did is they had all of these people that were infected and they just released them. They were done. They were never tested. They went out to wherever their hometown was. So they
all over the country, all over California,
Back into California, right?
Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, what the implication of this is? It's shocking. Go on.
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
And one of them went down to Ventura, so Southern California, you know, up towards Santa Barbara between LA and. And so Ventura County, I think that was probably their first case. And so they just fanned out. And the ones that I read you, the 18 I read you, I think it's just the tip of the iceberg because there would have been 2,500 passengers and half of
That's
them
right.
were Californians. So there's 1,200, 1,300 Californians that got off. And then there's probably 500 or 600 throughout the rest of the country, and then saw it went up to Canada. And I think it was the same thing as Japan, because they just had a high percentage of the people where there's origin, where that's who most of the passengers are. So with the diamond princess, 50% of the passengers were from Japan. And in this case, with the U.S., it's going to be over 50%. 50% are just Californians. So there'll probably be 75%. But like the other one, they're going to represent like 50 different countries, except instead of being countries that are more right. towards Asia and Europe, these will be more towards North America and South America. And so it's gonna, you know, they went to Mexico, so they're gonna hit Mexico really hard.
Yeah.
They went to Hawaii.
Yeah.
They're gonna hit Hawaii real hard. And then there's probably a bunch of people from South America that went ahead and, went up to San Francisco to take a cruise, and, people from the Midwest, I mean, that's where these first cases were. I mean,
exactly
you had Minnesota, you had Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They were just bing, bing, bing. You know, some of them were brand new, some were bigger cities, so that they weren't the first ones there. But they right. They just spread out all over the country.
These two cruise ships. Excuse me, Henry, I'm sorry. These two cruise ships, when you think about it, perfect vector centers for this virus to infect as many people as possible. It's like a Petri dish. Now we got one over here, and they just let, was it 2,000 off the ship and just let them go? Is that what you said?
2,500. Right.
2,500. All right. And what's your just, let's just have fun with this for a second. What would be a reasonable guesstimate as how many of that 2,500 might have been infected, just for fun? What's your sense? 500.
I'd say 500 to 1,000, somewhere in that ballpark.
I concur. That's what was just sent literally into the heartland of the U.S., okay? Without being tested, without being checked. That's what kind of leadership we have in this government. In this state.
Well, no, it's
country.
Even worse than that. Did you hear the comments? The comments were the second trip, which has got another 2,500 passengers on it. And Trump doesn't want to let them off the ship because they're going to ruin his numbers. That his numbers are going to go up, and it's not his fault, quote unquote. So through no fault of his, he doesn't want to go ahead and bring all these infected people off the ship. He doesn't care about the people. He just cares about his numbers. He doesn't want them coming off the ship because they're going to go and jack up the numbers. And, you know, remember a week ago, he said he's going to have it down to one person or something. You know, it was 15 and, you know, 10 of them were just about done
hoax.
In the last five
were
going to be gone. It's
no
going to be one person. And he thinks he can talk it down. It's kind of like if he says something, the virus is going to go away. You know, they're going, you're going to do X, Y, and Z. Well, we're not coming to the U.S. anymore. You know, they're here. They're here, and there's plenty of people that aren't infected. And there's plenty of opportunities for this virus.
He's also trying to blame his lack of preparedness on the Obama administration. That came out too.
I know. He'll blame anybody except himself. He'll just go ahead and say it's X, Y, and Z. He'll find somebody and say, "See, that's what the problem is." I mean,
here's another one for you. I just got
Mulvaney
this.
Mulvaney just left.
He kicked Mulvaney out. You know where he exiled him to? He sent him to Northern Ireland as a special envoy. That's his new post.
Yeah.
He sent him far away so he wouldn't talk to anyone. Go out there, mind your own business, Mick, and everything will be okay. Just be quiet. That's what goes on here. Now, Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, has apparently been ordered, or they got together and decided, that since this virus is now running all over the country and they can see where it's going, they've renamed it. Pompeo has renamed the coronavirus, COVID-19, to the Wuhan virus.
They politicized it.
They politicized
it. Right.
They weaponized the name of the damn virus.
It came from China.
That's all due
to Chinese.
Not Trump's
this
fault.
This is all their fault. They started it, and look what we got now. And if they get a chance, they'll try to do the bioweapon thing, too. So, you know, it's not only their fault, but they planned it. It might have been an accident. You know, They were making it to use against the only reason it's there, whatever. They're making it. They made it.
And it got away.
It's their fault. And now look what happened. And so they can point the finger in that direction. And, you know, and then there was the whole thing that it was genetic and, you know, the Asians were more susceptible.
All you have to do is look at
Italy. I mean, Italy is just getting massacred. I mean, take a guess. I don't know if you looked. How many deaths do you think they have in Italy now?
400 something, 500?
No, it's 197. How many deaths they have. And Iran's got 124. And I remember when they started a little, I think it was a week ago, maybe it's
50.
But it was 50, and they said, no, it's only 5 or 10, and, you know, that's an exaggeration. Well, they're up to 124, but Italy's even higher. And they have about the same number of cases. So, I mean, Italy only has 500 recovered. Iran at least says they've got 900 recovered, and Iran's got 124 deaths, and Italy's got 197, and they've got 462 serious. So it's hitting that country very hard, and I doubt that it's genetic. I think it's just they probably have a high viral load in northern Italy, and it's and
very
that's.
High.
One of the driving forces, and it builds upon itself because if you've got a lot of people that have this high viral load, then you end up with a lot more that have that, and you have a good chance of getting infected by a couple people at the same time.
Correct.
And all of a sudden you've got a high viral load, even if the two you had moderate viral load.
Let me do one other thing about these conspiracies running around. There's another one out there that 5G is somehow a binary part of this bioweapon attack on humanity.
Right.
5G. Now, never mind that Iran doesn't have 5G. Oh, they're planning on it, but it's not there. It's not available yet. Never mind any of the facts. It's 5G. We do know that there's a lot of suspicion and evidence that 5G can degrade the human immune system. Any electromagnetic ionizing radiation will do that. But this is not a 5G binary bioweapon attack, okay? Just understand that. It's not.
No, it's a virus that jumps
disease.
We don't really have that much immunity to it, and it happens to be a particularly virulent one. And unfortunately, you know, the way these pandemics typically go, they usually have what they call a herald wave, which is kind of the initial wave. It's kind of signaling.
We're just beginning to see that here. Just
the next wave, right? So in the spring, that's kind of the early version, and it's kind of getting a foothold, and it kind of, you know, it's there, but then it kind of fades over the summer, and then it comes back with a vengeance in the fall, and that's what happened with swine flu. I mean, it started in late spring, and it started in the spring, but it kept going through the late spring. By late spring, the influenza faded, you know, the seasonal influenza faded away. So H1N1 was gone, H3N2 was gone, and influenza B were gone. All they had was swine flu, and then it kind of got a little bit lower over the summer, and then as soon as school started in the south on August 1st, then all of a sudden it just ran across the South. The numbers started going up, and Mm-hmm. Here in Pittsburgh, it kind of came in two waves. It was a mild. People were coughing, but they didn't have fever. They went to school, and that was the beginning of the school year, late August, early September, and then kind of the middle of October, it just kind of took off. That it came. People had high fevers. They went to the nurse. The nurse sent them home. There were 10% of the students were out. 10% of the teachers were out, and it was certainly much stronger than it was either at the beginning of the school year or in the spring. And you know, there's concern that the same thing's going to happen with this.
Don't forget about this virus too. The reinfectivity angle. No conferred immunity necessarily. And the people who are being infected a second time, according to what I've read, are far more seriously impacted than they were the first time. Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah, because the first time, you don't get that much virus. So if you've got a smaller amount of virus, you kind of get kind of sick. You don't get that sick, and you get over it fairly quickly. And you don't build up that much immunity because it wasn't that big of a battle. And then when the virus comes back the second round, it can be at this higher viral load. So it kind of hits your immune system harder. And, that first round wasn't really enough to have your immune system primed well enough to handle this. I mean, you do usually handle it, except you get sicker. It's a bigger deal. But there is a lot. I mean, it's going to kill the economy, but there is a lot of, canceling of meetings. I mean, you mentioned Seattle. The big companies there, Microsoft and Facebook and, Amazon and, I guess Costco, they're basically, you know, asking their employees to just telecommute if they can. Don't do
hard when you work
meetings.
At Costco. By the way, in Seattle, they have at least one person working in the stadium at the Seattle Seahawks arena. I don't know what it is, CenturyLink something. They got one there. Two of the Oregon big colleges in Oregon played football games, I guess. They're going ahead with a soccer game up in Seattle as well. So they're trying to hold off as long as they can, but it's just a matter of another few days and they're going to have to shut these events down.
Yeah.
You can't have big gatherings of people.
My daughter does event planning and it's for, you know, big corporations that kind of have sales meetings and whatever. And they're canceling left and right. I mean, they're just calling out the one in Austin, Texas, what's that big convention?
Las Vegas?
I thought it was in Austin, but in Texas.
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway, the ones she's doing, they're just all canceling them because they just know. And then speaking of a big event, there could be a serious problem in Washington, D.C.
The AIPAC conference, 18,000
right.
people went for 5 days,
right.
rubbing shoulders right. and breathing on each other, and they've got positives in New York now, people who went to the AIPAC convention, and
right.
All kinds of American politicians were there, and Trump, who knows what he's rubbing shoulders with in the White House. I mean, look, this virus is all over the place. Anybody could get it.
Right. And that's the thing. When you have a mass gathering like that, you know, you're just going to have close contact over a prolonged period of time. And if you're infectious, you're going to infect people. You know, you might not infect 18,000. You might infect, you know, 300 or 400. And
that's plenty.
And over time that keeps on going, and then they disperse. They leave Washington and go back to New York or wherever, and there's another wave of the virus that's come flying in because it got passed around to where everybody was together in Washington, D.C.
You called the New York one. You called the New York one. That there's a the Westchester County people. Those were some people who went to the AIPAC convention. So you called that center.
And they added 11 this morning, so they went from 22 to 33. And then they added 11 for tonight, so they went from 33 to 44. So they literally doubled in one day. They went from 22 at this time yesterday to 44 one day later. And those are, you know, they had a press conference and detailed it, and they, you know, they pretty much identified who all of them were, but, you know, they had a bar mitzvah, and a couple of the people were those that served food at the bar mitzvah, and some of the mm-hmm. people were the ones that attended the bar mitzvah. And then Freedom went and saw the index case at the hospital. They all got infected, and it just went bang, bang, bang. And
When they went in the hospital, they no doubt had masks and PPEs, and they still got infected.
I think he's getting better, but I think he had been in a coma. He had been in critical condition. So, you know, they knew what he had. You know, so I'm sure that if they went, I mean, a big hospital, Presby, hospital, and they would have, you know, they would have given him instructions that, you know, he's contagious. And they would know he's contagious because by the time they went to the hospital, the whole family, I mean, his whole family got infected, and then his friend's whole family had gotten infected. Yeah. And so, I mean, they weren't all physically sick, but they all tested positive for the test. So they knew that the virus was transmitting.
Here's another one. Mike Pence spoke at the AIPAC convention.
Oh, I know.
And obviously shook hands with a hell of a lot of people. Now, he was also in an elementary school, I think it was elementary, in Sarasota, Florida, where they had somebody diagnosed as infected. So he's been exposed twice. Yeah.
Florida had their first death. So now they got deaths on both coasts now. So,
there's Pence. Pence could come down with this. Trump could come down. The whole who knows? Anything's possible.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened in Iran. You know, they had a lot of, you know, high-ranking individuals that
senior
ended up,
advisor to the Ayatollah dead. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a vice president died.
Yes, he did.
But maybe that's the same person. I don't know.
Well, I think it's two people. And Israel. Everyone who went to AIPAC who flew back to Israel is in quarantine now. Voluntary quarantine.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Well, Israel already got hit hard, I think, by Italy. I think that they were kind of maintaining it. They had a few that were infected on the Diamond Princess, but they kind of kept them in quarantine if they came back. And it was kind of, you know, they had one or two, but they knew who they were. Da da da. Then all of a sudden, they had six or eight or something. Now I don't know what they got. I think they got 20 or so. And then this AIPAC thing that would, yeah, they got 17. So AIPAC would just kind of blow things away. And so they're trying to clamp down and get it under control. But it's very difficult. I mean, a lot of this is simply buying time because, you know, there probably is a reasonable chance that it'll ease up over the summer. And summer's not that close, but at least to get it there. And unfortunately, there's not going to be a vaccine for the fall. There, you know, maybe some of these antivirals will show enough promise that, they'll actually start treating people if it does come back. But the spring is still going to be difficult because even though people are taking these measures, it's still a virus that's fairly contagious. And almost anywhere you go, I mean, if you go to airports, you're going to have the possibility of being exposed a lot, just used at the airport itself, much less the plane. But then if you go to these, there's still sporting events that are going on. People are still going to the movies. I imagine they're all, not as high attendance as they've been. But I think in Europe, they're playing soccer in empty stadiums. They're televising it in some other.
Correct.
I think there were some marathons and they only let the highest level run, the second and the third tiers. They just told them to stay home. They don't want that many people, at the starting line. And
the chances of the Olympics going off in Japan are pretty slim.
Yeah, they're pretty iffy because they do all these preliminary things. It might not be that bad by the summer, but they do all these preliminaries, which they start actually fairly soon. And Japan's not in good shape at all, and they're not quite as bad as Italy or South Korea, but they got 350 is what they've got them. I mean, they're actually not that bad anymore. These other countries have passed them by. Germany's up to 670. Germany went up very quickly, and. And France is up to 615, and Spain's up to 402. So they all went up very fast, and I don't know that they're leveling off at all. If anything's leveling off, it's Asia. They really don't look that bad. I don't know if it's apples to apples and how well they're screening this.
Well, you saw all that demonstration of the people yelling at the Chinese party leaders that fake, you're lying, hoax, fake. In other words, the statistics that are showing a leveling off of new cases, that people were yelling at them from the high rises, lies. 21 infected in Israel right now. 4 more Israelis were added. 4,700 admitted cases in Iran, 124 dead there. 100,000 Israelis are in quarantine, by the way. 100,000 Israelis in self-quarantine right now.
I believe it, because they've been hit from, they had the shimp that they got. I think they got a big influx from Italy. The people went to Italy on vacation and came back, and that was the problem.
I remember reading that. Now. You're correct.
And now this Apex thing is liable to create another wave that they're
the whole Trump administration could be exposed in a matter of days. That's not a joke. Pence could have brought this all back.
Once it takes a foothold, that it just it's very easy, and that's why these bigger meetings are getting canceled and. They can't go on, travel. That they have to get an okay to go anywhere, and they don't want to go internationally anywhere. You have to go locally. They want to keep that limited, and they're concerned about the workplaces. They'd much prefer if you just telecommunicate, and so the density at any location is down, and it's harder for the virus to transmit. Now, I don't know how effective any of these things are. These things are kind of things that can mitigate it somewhat and maybe keep the numbers down, but stopping something this contagious is kind of like stopping the flu, and there really wasn't much of an attempt to do that with swine flu.
Right.
I mean, it's I'm kind of waiting for the next round of sequences to come out of Seattle, because if all of the Seattle sequences are essentially the same, and if they really all came from the first positive in the U.S. from Wuhan, then that would indicate that. The R-naught is probably higher than they're talking about, because
it's probably 80.
You know, I, I think that, you know, the number of cases they have there, just from everything anybody said, you know, there seems to be more people coughing. They're closing down schools. They've got, you know, kids in schools that are positive. And, you know, that the lab, the University of Washington lab was, I think, testing 400 a day, and they were getting, you know, 5 to 7%. So, yeah, so that's, you know, around 24 cases a day. And, you know, so they must have, and they're obviously not going to be testing everybody that's got the virus. They're just going to be testing a small subset of that anyway. And they're getting that many positives is probably all over. And that's what the sequence will show. If, you know, all this wide geographic area essentially all has the same virus, then that means that it not only got very high in numbers, you got very far in reach, and it has covered, you know, the whole metropolitan area, right, essentially. But it may not hold up. I mean, most of what they got is somewhat linked to that long-term facility.
Here's another one. This has to do, again, with the president and his administration and the leadership and the policy decisions. And who's in charge of the coronavirus but Mike Pence, who may end up having it. Here, this is out of the Guardian. No, this is the Daily Mail in the UK.
The virus is in charge of him.
There you go.
But anyway.
Thank you. Why, asks the Daily Mail, is U.S. Customs still not screening passengers from coronavirus hotspots, Italy, Iran, and South Korea, who fly into major airports in the U.S., including JFK, LAX, Atlanta, and Chicago's O'Hare? The CDC is only mandating screening in the U.S. for flights from Iran and China. People from Iran, Italy, and South Korea are meant to be screened before they board their flights. Whether or not that is actually happening is of great concern. Several people have been able to return to the U.S. from Italy recently with the virus. One journalist said she walked right through JFK on Thursday after returning from Milan, Italy's virus epicenter, without anyone stopping her or checking her. So nothing is being done here. That's my point. There's no leadership.
It's a difficult situation all the way around, I think, because I think that the number of people that came here from Italy, I think, is very, very high, because they, as soon as they started testing, they started getting all these, you know, Italy travel related ones. But unfortunately, there are other areas that I think are loaded with virus that don't report it and they don't realize it. I'm seeing a bunch of cases from Egypt. I think Egypt seeded Texas. There was a group in Texas. I think the three major cities are all part of some tour group that had been to Egypt. And Egypt was involved, I think, with Canada. And, you know, I think Egypt claims like three cases or something. You know, there are more cases from Egypt in the United States than there are in Egypt, you know, that, according to their numbers. So part of it is that you can pick one city that, you know, an obvious target, because they clearly have a lot of cases and have showed up in many different countries. But then you have other countries that on paper look like there's really nothing there. I mean, there's only three cases. Yeah, that's what they got, three cases. And with one of them recovered. So those are Egypt's staff. So they really only have two cases that still have the virus. And, you know, there's no way that that's the case as far as how many exports they have. So the exports are kind of an indicator, but it's a late indicator because, I mean, And you're finding out that they're exporting because they're already coming to these other countries and they're showing up there. And so it's kind of like the virus is in a lot of different places, some places where it's obvious. And then, some of this, you're going to see Italy is showing up all over the place. But part of the reason Italy's showing up all over the place is that's who's getting tested. They're going to say, well, you've got a cough and you're from Italy. We're going to test you. And you got a cough and you're from Egypt. Well, there's only three cases there. You know, it's probably the flu or something else. And so some of this, you know, drives itself and is very skewed. So you're looking for Italy and you find Italy. And then because you find Italy, the next country's looking for Italy and they find it too. But they run into Egypt by accident. They find out whatever reason they tested them, you know, some unusual circumstance, you know, possibly because they're in a group and there's several of them that are symptomatic, that they go ahead and test them and they find out that, you know, they all came from Italy. From Egypt. And that's where they had that. So it's, the numbers are going up such that, picking one or two countries is probably not going to be all that conclusive because there's enough other countries that have the virus, even if they don't admit it. And, they're going to come in. I mean, Indonesia, I think, is another good example where they've got some ridiculous low number. And, you would think they would have, more than they have listed. And so they're not on anybody's list. Now, I don't know how much travel they're doing, but, you know, it's not like they're at the top of the list because they've got a high population. They're not there because they say they don't have any cases. So, you know, I keep going back to the swine flu. The swine flu, there really wasn't that much of an effort. I guess there might have been some effort in Europe to try to keep it out, but it's, It got in fairly quickly, and it got in quicker than it appeared because they really weren't looking for it. They were basically looking at flyers that they already knew about and bringing it in from a certain country, but they really weren't looking for community spread, and that's why. This is coming up late in some countries. I mean, Canada just got their first community spread a couple of days ago, and I think England did. And yeah, I think they've had community spread for a while. They just haven't been looking for it so much. And they've been targeting people that are coming in from countries that are known to be hotspots. And so, you know, it's not that you shouldn't look at the hotspots, but I have a sense that in the overall picture, when you say, cause I think I saw the number, the numbers that the U.S. had intercepted, and you know it was maybe 200 or something. I mean, I think it was a relatively low number of people that were denied entry. I think is how they were listed. So right. Something, you know, probably, you know, they didn't pass or they were symptomatic and they weren't allowed to even come, but it's a couple hundred people. And look at this, the cruise ship. I mean, there are one ship kind of eclipsed that number. And and that's the one we know about. Yeah, I mean, you know about that particular ship. There could have been smaller numbers on other ones. And they came in and they had milder cases. So, you can do things to try to slow it down, but, you know, I think it's going to be, you know, if it does, you know, turn out that it's seasonal, and I think it's reasonable to assume that it might have a seasonal pattern. It's never been at this level, so it's real hard. I mean, SARS kind of faded in May or so, early May it started to decline and kind of disappeared over the summer, and then it came back in the fall, but it really wasn't at the level it was the first year in the beginning of 2003. The beginning of 2004, there was a little bit. It did a lot of culling, and then it kind of faded away, and at least reported-wise, it disappeared. There were no SARS cases after early 2004. But this virus, I just worry that it's going to be something akin to the flu. The flu, you know, the seasons flip-flop on the northern and southern hemisphere, so that it can be hanging out in Australia and South America or South Africa over the summer here, because it'll be winter there. And then in the fall, it'll kind of start going back. And part of that, I would imagine, is driven just by travel. There's enough people traveling between the northern right. hemisphere and southern hemisphere that the virus just arrived and goes from one winter to the other. It kind of migrates, but it does it by commercial airline.
Well, and, we'll see. I'm going to watch very carefully the Trump administration. Pence has arguably been exposed twice now in the last week, and certainly at AIPAC, if he was out among them, he was exposed. So we'll see. Maybe Trump will end up with Nikki Haley on the ticket after all. Who knows?
Yeah, there's no telling. It's out there, and how much it's gonna accelerate in the next couple of weeks? I wouldn't be surprised for sure that if it gets significantly worse, at least in the near term. And
I don't see how it's
numbers
like
go up.
So much more infectious. It would make sense that it would. All right. Thank you, Henry, for another remarkable week of updates. We'll pick it up Monday and see what happens over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the virus will not rest over the weekend. The news might a little bit, but the virus will be out and about without any doubt.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. Thanks much.
Okay. Talk to you have soon. A good weekend.
Yeah. You
okay.
Too.
Take care.
All right. Dr. Henry Nyman, and the best information we can possibly give you, you get right here. Okay. Thank you for being here this week and tonight. Have a good weekend, and you still have time to do some preparing. Okay? So take a look at what you have at home, make a list, and think about it. Talk to you soon.